for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, November 26, 1999. Ladies teaching class, Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the teacher. This is the Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds.
And I had to get up and walk out this morning because I have got into a little trouble. I began to, you know, just hurt real bad, and I went out. And if you don't know, a week ago today I buried my husband 54 years, and it's really not been all that easy, but the Lord knows. I knew that if I didn't come this time, that I might not come back, because I've been here before by myself. I've come in at a women's ladies meeting. I've been here and for the pastor's conference. But it's just really hard doing camp meeting because he was always with me. And we were always together to everything. And I was asking Louise how you deal with the loneliness. And so the Lord, you know, a year, you were married a lot longer than I am, I'm sure. Well, my husband was a believer. He's a minister of the gospel. And he really was praying. Do you mind if I share a little bit about this? We were believing God to heal him. I teach healing, and I believe in healing very strongly because I've been healed many times myself, and he had been too. And I'll be honest with you, you can believe or disbelieve, but I firmly believe my husband was cursed by a witch. And I had a demon to tell me he would die. And I rebuked it, and, you know, I was doing deliverance. But everything that devil said has happened. And he said, well, you don't believe what demons say. That's true. I don't. But sometimes when they tell you something that happens, you wonder. But I believe he was cursed. We had a woman that was in Satanism came to our church a few years back. And I know what they do. You know, the scripture says in Hebrews that I was thinking about, I'm going to teach some of this, if the Lord allows me, on fear. Because I know there's a Brother Robert hit it last night just a little bit on fear, talking about fear and people, how we have different kinds of fear. But in Hebrews, in the second chapter, in verse 14, says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And then he said, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See, fear brings bondage. And here we see that in Hebrews it's talking about that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Well, what happened to my husband at the very last had to be demonic. Had to be of the devil. A lot of you have heard me teach on Ezekiel 13. Any of you remember it? On the hunter souls? Well, we literally dealt with that dude in my house and ran him off because my husband went into a coma. And see, when you do that, you are not in charge anymore of your faculties, even though he could hear us. But anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself, but he had prayed, and I had been teaching on healing. Last year at Christmas, I taught three sermons on healing. and share every time I get an opportunity that healing comes through the Word and through deliverance. And the devil would try his best to make everything that I've taught to be a lie, you know. And the enemy came to me and says, how are you going to teach healing again? I should have been teaching healing today, but the Lord gave me this one on fear. And I said, you just stand back and watch. I'll show you how I'm going to teach it. Because, you see, God's Word is God's Word. And He died and He bore our sicknesses upon His body, and by His stripes we were healed 2,000 years ago. We were healed. We are healed, and we're being healed. Okay? The Word works. And people say, well, He was sick and He died. That's between Him and God. But I know He was believing. I know He stood on the Word. We did deliverance on Him. And He fought. He fought. This battle was not just a short battle. Most of you ladies had seen what He was going through when I have to say this. Women they discern much faster than men. Because I would go home so angry sometimes that these preachers didn't see that Jim needed prayer and deliverance in the area of healing. And so we were praying and we were doing deliverance, and our church did deliverance on him. And he was standing on the Word. So I cannot tell you other than to say he believed God, and he knew the scriptures from cover to cover. How many times he read the Bible through? My husband knew it and believed it and loved it. And yet he died. And the Lord took him. At the last, the Lord took him. And I know that. But we were fighting principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. I was sharing with someone this morning how we literally had to put, I literally had to keep scripture going in every room in my house to even be able to walk in the house without, you know, the pressure and the oppression and the powers that were loosed against the house. I am a firm believer in deliverance. And I don't do too much faith deliverance. You know what I mean? Faith deliverance is I lay hands on you and I command that thing out and it's gone by faith. I don't believe that. My faith doesn't work that way in deliverance. I believe that the Word says that Jesus cast out demons with His Word. And I stand on the Word and the authority that God gave me. And when I call them out, I know they're going to go. But I don't believe in faith in them out. Yes, it takes faith. You've got to believe and I've got to believe. But we've got to believe that when we speak to those things, they've got to go. And when it's over with, if you're not any different, you didn't get any deliverance. Because no difference, no deliverance. So we have run into a lot of spirits that are not your everyday demons. And this is why I got the witch and the woman from Satanism into my church. We were running into things like the beast, the spirits of the false prophet, the dragon, Leviathan. Of course, Leviathan was no big deal. That's pride. Everybody, the scripture tells us that. He's king over all the children of pride. And the hunter's souls, just for a few, naming a few, that offhand, the Beelzebub, the false councils, there's a council that of 7 and 13 that are demonic forces that attack God's people. And we were getting into heavy deliverance in the area where we have to compare notes with others. There are others that are doing the same thing, but we are really not close to one another to know what's going on. So the enemy sent this woman into our church. And before she left, she blew her top at me and said, I was sent to find out how you know about these things. You're not supposed to know. It's not time yet for anyone to know. So I thought, well, God showed it to me, so why not? God showed me a thing. You know, God's the one who does it. I'm not smart enough to do it. He taught it to me. And that's not putting me down, but when God's showing you something in the Word, God wants you to know it. So she came into the church, and through her, another woman in our church got real involved with her and hindered this other lady's deliverance. And we were ministering to this woman that's a part of our church. We've already, several years ago, got rid of the other woman. And she was the one that the things that her said that Jim would die and that he had been cursed. And also told me that it would hinder my ministry that I would back off. And I said, I haven't prayed for her in a while, but I said, always tell her, just wait and see. We'll see. Because I'm angry at the devil more so than ever. And honey, I'm going to go and teach it and do it and minister deliverance to those whomsoever God sends my way. And we're going to see God has promised me a greater anointing. I've had prophecy since this happened that God is going to open doors for me to go teach this everywhere God sends me that I'm to go. And the Lord sent someone to me to prophesy to me, and I praise the Lord that I received it, because it was, in many areas, it was confirming what God had spoken to me. So, but Jim had suffered quite a while with this, and his breathing. We didn't know that it was cancer of the lungs. The doctor told us when they told us what it was, he would live 6 to 9 months. He lived 5. But he had been in the hospital and had his lungs, had fluid drained off his lungs just before Easter. We came up here right after he had had it done. They wanted to do a biopsy on him and scrape his lungs and so forth, and thought it was fungus in his lungs, and we didn't want that. But he had gotten so bad, he was having a real hard time breathing, and so he finally said he had to have something done, and we went in and they opened him up and closed him back up. And the doctor told me then whatever we wanted to do, we should do it. Jim was just retiring. He's 75 years old. He was still working. And anyways, he died 3 times in the hospital. Now, I had a question for the Lord about this, and I said, God, they brought him back 3 times. And I said, Lord, why didn't you just take him on home then and not let him have to go through what he had gone through? I want to know. And the word says, you ask and you'll receive. And the Lord told me that the reason was that my family was scattered and they were not prepared, and he was giving them time to come in. We had a son we had not seen in 7 years. God brought him back. My middle son got saved. And his dad got to know all this before he went home. So God told me that he was preparing the family and bringing them back together. So we rejoice. And I'll tell you this. There's going to be an article in the next paper about the rose that bloomed at the trailer where we stay. We raise roses. And my husband, I was telling the ladies at lunch, he killed all my roses back in the spring. He over-suffered them. He put sulfur on them, and they came back out. But anyways, they hadn't been as pretty this year as they normally were. And so I had gone to the mailbox to get the mail one day when he was real sick. And I saw this peace rose that he just really loved. This yellow rose with a little white in it. And I cut it. I was cutting some of the roses, and I started back into the house, and the Lord spoke to me and said, when the petals fall on that rose, Jim will be gone. And of course I cried, and I tried to argue with the Lord. Y'all don't do that, I know. I tried to change God's mind. But anyways, it was true. The day that the petals fell off and I threw them out, Jim died the next morning. And at the funeral home, at the funeral, when we were having Jim's funeral, Tony called Glenn. Glenn was there and told him that he had found this beautiful yellow rose over there at the trailer next to our room where we stay in the trailer that had come up out of a dead bush. The bush was totally dead, and this long stem, rose, yellow rose, was blooming in the midst of that bush. And it just blessed me because of our love for roses. And I was walking, we were getting ready to start the funeral, and the Lord spoke to me again, and he said, the rose, that the petals that fell was Jim leaving, shedding his earthly body, and going home with the Lord. And said the yellow rose that bloomed from the dead bush shows his life, he's living again. And it just really blessed me because the Lord explained it to me that way. And I praise the Lord for it. So it's been hard. But, you know, Jim, to tell you how my husband loves for me to come over here and for him to come. He was so sick earlier, and we almost came to the pastor's conference. But I just decided, you know, it was so hard on him, and really, it was a little hard on me having to do everything, and I've been doing everything for about a year. But we backed out of it, but he knew that I wanted to be here to hear Robert Cameron. And he told me, he said, if there's any way possible, you're going to go, and we're going to go hear Robert. You can go hear Robert. I'll stay in the trailer. And he was so sick. And I said, honey, there's just no way. And so one of the girls in our church is a nurse. And she said to me, I'm going to take off from work, and I'm going with you. I'll take care of Jim, and you go to church, go to the services. And he was agreeable to that. He slept a lot. And she says, while he's sleeping, so you'll be comfortable with him being in the trailer, I'll stay with him, and he'll give me a time to catch up on some of my studies. She, you know, in the scripture, she's working. She doesn't have a whole lot of time. And but the Lord saw fit to take him. And we were at the cemetery when Glenn asked Bill if I was going to come. And I had been saying, there ain't no way I'm going back to Hot Springs. No way. I just can't. I just can't. It's too many memories. And when Bill asked me that, I heard myself say yes. I thought, man, where did that come from? And so I had a little warfare with myself because I cried. As I said, I cried all the way over here. And it wasn't easy, but I praise the Lord that I'm back with people that I believe. Girls, you don't know how much you've preached to me and ministered to me, and the prayers that have gone up, I have really felt them and appreciated them, and I want you to know that, and so did Jim. And I got the word that someone had a vision the Lord had given them, and or dream, I'm not sure which, and saw us surrounded with, we were, and the scripture came that we were encamped around, and we were encamped around with prayer. God is good. He's faithful. And while I was asking the Lord after I knew I was coming, I said, Lord, what am I to teach on over there? What am I to share with? And he said, fear. I thought, yeah, Lord, I need that. So you guys may not need it, but the Lord's been talking to me about it. You know, the fear of the unknown. Fear of being alone. Never having been alone in my life. Because I married as a kid, just 17, I was almost 18, and been with Jim all my life. And I thought, Lord, this is hard. And so the enemy would just try to play on your mind, you know, about this and that. And I'm sure that none of you have fears. You know, I was doing deliverance one time on a lady. If you will, open your Bible to Revelation chapter 21. And I was going after fear in her, and fear manifested and talked to me, and it said, I said, you spirit of fear, you come out of there. And that thing looked at me and said, what fear do you want? What fear do you want? I thought, hey, there's more than one. I mean, this is when I was beginning to learn deliverance. He says, now there's little fear, and there's big fear, and then there's terror. And then there's fear of the dark and fear of man and fear. He said, I'm just, what fear do you want? He said, be specific. I thought, okay, we'll just start and call them all out. And so we have fear. Sometimes we go after a spirit of fear, but we need to go after it for what it is. What are you afraid of? Being left alone. Afraid of strange noises around your house. I see a lot of people fearful of being robbed and knocked in the head. I'll tell you something. If we're totally committed to the Lord and God's angels encamp around about us, I believe that God will protect us. You know, Norman Parrish talked about it. He said that he's not afraid to go into all different places in Guatemala where a lot of things are happening because God has always protected him. Well, I've had demons tell me we would do this and do that to you, but then blankety blank angels stand around you and we can't get to you. And I thought, that's comforting. So the word says the angels of the Lord encamp around about those that fear him. You know, I don't especially care for demons proving the scripture, but in time they won't too. They can still say, I mean, you know, I know that what the word says is true. So, Father, we thank you. I thank you this afternoon, Lord, for the privilege of sharing. Father, we ask you just to move through us this afternoon, Lord. Let it not be me, but let it be the Spirit of the living God that reveals truth to us, that we might receive your word in our heart. And Lord, be freed from the powers of the enemy. We know we're to overcome, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So, Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the authority that's in the name of Jesus. And in that name that's above every name, I bind principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. I bind the kingdoms and thrones and dominions in the heavenlies. I bind Satan's power to every demonic force in the name of Jesus. I bind every strong man in this place. I ask, Father, that your angels come in and cleanse, drive out every tormenting spirit, every hindering spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, you've given us authority over all the power of the devil, and you said nothing shall by any means harm us. And so you said, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And Father, we tread this afternoon upon all the works of darkness, because we are the children of light, and we walk in your word, Father, and we believe your word. You said heaven and earth would pass away, but your word would endure forever, and that no weapon formed against us would prosper. So Father, I stand upon your word, and I thank you for the authority to bind and to loose. And I loosen each one of us now to hear your word. I ask you, Father, to give us hearing ears and seeing eyes and an understanding heart. And we just thank you again for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 19, the word says, wait a minute, I'm in the wrong place. Verse 7, excuse me, I had the wrong scripture. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I'm going to use the next scripture, but before I got to it, the Lord told me to back up and read this. And, you know, we talk about the overcomer. Tommy was talking about the overcomer downstairs. Now, if you'll back up, keep your place there, and back up to Revelation chapter 15. And let's look at verse 1 in chapter 15. The scripture says, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, and stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. So we're to overcome the mark of the beast, the image of the beast, and the number of the beast. We're to overcome, and I've teach much a lot on the soul, the mind, the will, and emotion, and I believe that our overcoming goes back over to chapter 13, verse 18 says, here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Well, as I study this, the number of a man is 666, it's the flesh. Okay, we overcome the beast in his number, his image, and his name, mind, will, and emotion, spirit, soul, and body. I believe that we are to overcome. God wants us to overcome in our spirit, in our soul, and in our flesh. Because if you go back to, I'm not going over there, but to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, God says he wants our spirit, soul, and body to be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand he said body, soul, and spirit. All parts of us. So the enemy works on our flesh with physical things, the illness, all kinds of illness. He works on our soul, our mind, will, and emotion to bring in doubt, fear, and unbelief. And then spiritually, if he can separate, get our soul under his control, then he hinders the move of the Spirit of God in our spirit. So we're to overcome the enemy in all three areas, which would, over in 1 John, it talks about the God, talking about the flesh, the world, and the devil. So we're still fighting him in three areas, and it's always in three areas. So that didn't cost you anything extra. I want to throw that in and tell you that we have got to overcome in our flesh. We've got to overcome in our soul. We've got to call our soul back. If the Lord allows me tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to do some on the soul. Maybe binding and loosing. How to free your soul that's bound. Anyways, but back over in Revelation 21, verse 8, and this is the one that really, if you really listen to this, think about it. This is talking about those which will have the second death. We'll see the second death. It said, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. See, we lie a lot when we say, well, you know, I'm not afraid. If somebody came up and stuck a gun in your face, you'd be afraid. So we do have fear. We don't mean to lie. We just deny that we have it. But God's wanting us to get rid of all of it. Get cleansed from everything. And you know how we're going to do that? It's to totally be submitted to God. If you're trying to walk down two roads at one time, you'll never walk where God wants you to walk. You've got to make a decision that you're going to serve the Lord and not be double-minded, that you're not going to try to please man. You know, if we're going to obey God, we're not going to please man. Amen. But we have always been trying to... the word that I'm looking at is we can't compromise. You either believe or you don't. You say, well, God understands. I have people tell me, well, God understands. He sure does. He said, this is what it says. His word said, thou shall not. So, well, we're not under the old covenant. Well, read over in the new. Jesus said he didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill. And to fulfill it, we've got to serve him. We cannot serve him and the devil. Tommy hit on it this morning, the two kingdoms, the two nations within the two kingdoms. Oh, boy, I tell you, he was preaching, and I was thinking, yeah, two nations. You got the kingdom of the devil in us, the kingdom of God. And people say, well, I got the kingdom of the devil in me. Well, let me tell you, you belong to the devil before you did God. How much do you still follow the things of the world? The things of the world are the things of the devil. And we're not totally sold out to God yet, but God wants us to sell out to him, spirit, soul, and body, and overcome every thought and desire that's not of God. But we will debate it, even though we know things. We will debate, just like when the Lord told me Jim was leaving. I knew Jim was leaving. He'd already told me when he left. The morning when I got up, he told me he was gone before I went in to see him. He died while I was asleep. That hurt. But I was also told, had I not been asleep, he might not have left. That he waited till we went to sleep. So I don't know, but it hurt. But I was there right there with him, but I didn't know he, you know. But the thing is, let me tell you something. Who is it that accuses you and I? The devil does. He's the accuser of the brethren. And what our overcoming him is to put him down with the word of God. And that's the only thing that we have to put him down with is the word. Because you go back and look and see what Jesus did. What did Jesus do over in Matthew and Luke 4 when the devil came to tempt him? He said, it is written. And I teach this all the time in my church. If Jesus had to use the word, who do we think we are? We've got to know the scripture and say, but you are, I know who you are, and I overcome you, I rebuke you, and I resist you by the power of the word, by the all of the authority that's within me. Do you know your authority? That's our biggest thing, is knowing the authority that we have and walking in it. And he said, but the fearful, and I looked up that word in the dictionary. I looked at it also in the concordance, but in the dictionary it says that fear is a painful emotion marked by alarm, a complete loss of courage, to be afraid of, and then it goes on to say to have reverential fear of God. We are to have fear of God. But it also said that when fear is present, guess what? There's no faith. Our faith is not working when the fear is working. And, boy, that shook my cage, and I thought, yeah, Lord, I believe that. I really believe that. When we are in fear, fear and faith do not work at the same time. Fear is the opposite of faith. And so if the enemy can get you in fear, if any kind of fear, sudden fear, you know, you're driving along and somebody pulls out in front of you and you have to throw on your brakes to keep from hitting them, you feel your heart just beating a little too fast, the enemy's trying to get a door open so he can attack you. You know, the Word tells us in the Proverbs that a curse can't cause this come, and curses are demons when you look up what a curse is. And that thing can't just walk in on you. A lot of people are fearful of demons and fearful of deliverance. But if you know who you are, you know you have authority over all the power of the devil. We don't use it. That's the reason he wins so much of the time. But if he can get you to open your door, if not by fear, by saying something you shouldn't. We think sometimes before, or we speak sometimes before we think, and then after we've said the words, they're like a bird fluttering off in the breeze. You can't take them back. And words, Jesus said, his word was spirit and life. We're made in his image. Our words are either bring life or death. Power of life and death in the tongue. And so then he gets us to open the door. So when we're walking in fear, I think the concordance said, fear is faithless, to be faithless. And that is true. To frighten, to make afraid, fear, dread, panic, terror, and agitation. I had not thought of being agitated as fear. But the concordance in the Greek says it's that to be agitated is to be in fear. So anyways, but I wanted us to look at this, and you know, over in Hebrews, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, I was quoting this, and I said, Lord, I can't remember where it is. Mentally, I've been through so much, it's a little hard sometimes to remember where the scriptures are, and I was having to get back into the Word like I normally do and study it. But in Hebrews, in chapter 11, in verse 6, says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if fear's working and our faith's not working, then we can't please God. And the Word also says that whatever is not of faith is sin. In Romans it tells us that. And so if the enemy can get us walking in fear of any kind, then he works on your mind. He comes and he tells you. How many of you, when your kids were out, some of you are too young to have them out partying or in high school or whatever they're doing, but when they would go out at night, you could just visualize all the things that was happening to them. And, well, I got a scripture for you. Over in Job, in the 3rd chapter of Job. And I tell you what, this is really a place where we need to take authority over our thoughts and over our minds. Because in the 3rd chapter of Job, in verse 25, Job says, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid is come unto me. Job, in chapter 1, was afraid his kids, they were partying together, they were having feasting together in five verses of Job. So Job would offer sacrifices unto God, perchance they had sinned in their heart. Now this was the heart sin. And so, you know, I had not thought of in the line of just, in other words, thinking the thoughts, the kids, how many did he have? 10. They were having food together, and he did not know but what they were sinning in their heart. And so that's the way the enemy comes to attack us, with the thoughts. And we give, first of all, we think on it, we meditate on it, and then we're going to speak it. And, you know, I was just so afraid that was going to happen. We're all guilty of it. And this is an area in which we really need to watch our language. Is God has not given us, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So see, fear is a spirit. It's a demon. The Word says spirits. Demons are spirits. And so God has not given it to us. And so when the fear comes, we need to resist it, rebuke it, and say, no, I will not receive you. You go. I am not going to walk in faith. I will not take that thought. I cast it down, and it's under my feet in the name of Jesus. We need to resist the devil. I told my church one time, I said, instead of resisting those things, when you come, you just open up and say, come on in. And they come in and bring about six more with them. And then we have to go cast them out again, you know. And I said, stand against it. Use the word. This one girl just bugs me. She know, I heard somebody say that the enemy knew what button to push. And this girl and something in her world knows what button to push on me. I won't tell you what I thought. Sometimes I just wanted to punch her. I did. I just wanted to punch her. Because she won't hear. And she... And she has nice demons. You know, hers are not as bad as everybody else's. it's really funny. But anyways, but the thing is, we need to know that when we're in fear, we're not walking by faith. Okay, let's go to 1 John, and let's look at 1 John. You know, my husband had a saying that I really liked, and he always said when... you know, winter's coming on. You've been hearing all this about taking flu shots and all this. And all, you know, I'm just using it as an example. All these physical things that they're advertising on TV. Well, the enemy wants to bring them to you. You know, he'll come up and knock on your door. And sometimes we throw the door open and say, okay, come on in. But what we need to do is when it comes to the door, we need to resist it. We need to say, hey, there's somebody down the street's got all these... cold, this medicine for cold, go down there. They're prepared for you. And that's what we need to do with the fear. That's what we need to do with anything that comes at us that we know is not of God. I don't want you. You're not... I heard somebody say something about my something this morning, and I thought, sure don't belong to me. If it's yours, you got it. So you see, when we claim it, you know, the word says, and every one of us have walked in this, where we say, where two agree is touching anything, shall be done. God's word says, Jesus was saying that over in Matthew. Well, if you agree with that thought when it comes, you just got in agreement with the enemy. Everything God has given you and I, the devil has a counterfeit for. And He does his best to seduce us and deceive us into accepting it. And that's why we need to be on our toes. He said, well, you're talking about walking in fear. I said, no, I'm saying walk above it and be so full of the word that when the enemy comes, that the word just, what you need just comes forth and you use it and send that thing packing. That's resisting the devil. Resist him with the word and he'll flee from you. Peter tells us that. But over in... 1 John in chapter 4 and verse 18 talks about fear, and it said, there is no fear in love. No fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. See, when you're in fear, the devil torments you, and it opens the door for spirits of torment to come in. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. That's really food for thought, isn't it? It really is. God is love. And if he lives within us, we have that love in us. And if we'll walk in that love and let that love come forth, then fear won't find a place in us. Perfect love casts out fear. So, and fear torments in your night, even in your sleep at night, it will torment you. Now I've made the decision, and first night I was, after Jim left, the enemy would talk to me, try to talk to me, and I thought, I recognize you, and I know who you are. So I bind a strong man of fear in the heavens, in the name of Jesus. I cut off his power to any fear and every fear that's in this house, in my house I live in. And also in this house, in the name of Jesus, I bind the strong man of fear. You will not operate here. My body is the temple of Almighty God. I'm blood-bought. I'm cleansed. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. I'm sanctified by the blood of Jesus. And I'm cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You, fear, have no part in me. And when I did that, peace came. And so I don't know who the strong man of fear is. I have a feeling that it might be a fear of snakes, that we never got the strong man out, but we got fear of snakes out of me one time because I was really afraid of snakes. Very much afraid. I almost stepped on one as a child, and I really think that's where it entered in me. I was with my father, and he was a farmer, and I was going through a cornfield, and I almost stepped on this big old thing laying there, and just scared me silly. And then I've had my boys used to try to torment me with rubber snakes till their daddy got on to them and said, it's not a laughing matter when you're afraid of something. This was years ago before I knew about casting out fear. But I overcame the fear by standing on the table one time while my husband drove from Millington to my house to kill it. It was his head was under the edge of my house, and I had a hole on him, and I couldn't get him out to kill him. I was determined he wasn't going under my house. And so when I saw it, I called my husband and said, come home and kill this snake. He said, well, that's going to be gone time I get there. I said, no, you come and kill it. And when I went back out the door, he was trying to go up under my house. And I had a hole. I had gotten that the first thing. But my thought was, back then, you know, you can't cut his head off and blah, blah, blah. All this stuff was hitting me. And anyways, I stood on the tail of that thing till he drove from Millington, which is 2 miles to my house. And he came and got something, pulled it out of my house and killed it. And they were going after fear snakes in me, and I got deliverance from that. But I wonder if the strong man itself, now the strong man would be a ruler that would open doors for other fears to come in. So that's why I was binding the strong man. I don't know who the strong man of fear was, but had to be a strong man there because of the way the enemy was bombarding me, you know, with the thoughts of fear. And so we need to take authority in the heavens to cut off his power.
If I could kill a snake, I'm scared to death of snakes.
Well, tell you what, I'm going to call fear of snakes out in a little bit, and we're going to see if you get some and fear of darkness and all the different fears. I'm going to go after them. But then, let me tell you what the Lord told me. He said, I said, Lord, I don't like the nights because the nights seem long when you're alone by yourself. And he said, there's nothing in the darkness that wasn't here in daytime. And God spoke that to me. And he said, the angels of the Lord are encamped around about you. And I asked the Father to put angels around my house at night and around my family. You see, we have not because we ask not. And when we ask, sometimes we ask amiss. But God has given us authority over the angels. Whether you believe it or not, you do have power over the angels. The word says, know ye not that ye shall judge angels at the end time? But he said in Hebrews 1:14 that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those that shall be heirs of salvation. I've heard the angels fight in my house with demons, and I've seen them do it. And I know that they're there. And not only that, the demons that I've been casting out of people would tell me that they couldn't touch me because of them. I've seen them in my house doing warfare. They come in to drive out spirits. Only when I ask them, I have to call them in because they hearken unto the word of God. And people say, well, you might get the wrong angel. Look, God's not going to send you the wrong angel. Who are you calling on? I said, Father, your word says that I've given you authority. And when I said, Lord, your word says angels are ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for those. I'm an heir, Father, and I need the angels quick. Sometimes I don't have time to say everything I need to. And God sends them, and they protect us. And I praise the Lord for this. And so this is another area that we do warfare. And when, let me tell you something else, and you may not believe this, and that's okay. I know it to be a fact. I can't give you scripture for it. But I'll tell you this, if angels are spirits and demons are spirits, they can enter. Angels can enter you just the same as demons do. Did you ever think of that? This spirit, look in your concordance and find out what it says. Okay. Demons are spirit. And there are fallen angels that are in people. I've got news for you. So we were coming back from a meeting one night, and my husband was working, was still working full time, and it was like 2:30 in the morning, and he kept trying to fall asleep. We had been over Wilbur, Mississippi, and we had about an hour and a half drive to get home. And I was so tired. We had ministered for so long. I think we prayed for everybody's place. And we were both really tired. I was trying to keep him awake, and he was trying to keep me awake. And all of a sudden, I heard him say, Lord, put an angel in my mind. to keep me awake so I won't, till I get home. And all of a sudden, he was just wide awake, just like that. And I didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. But he drove on, and he didn't have any more trouble. I was kind of dozing. We got home. We started to bed, and as he walked around the bed, I heard him say, "Now release that angel, Father, in the name of Jesus, that kept me awake." And he said, time he hit the bed, he was asleep. Now, you can believe it or not, it doesn't really matter, but if you stop and think that angels are spirits, why not? Why not? They ministered to Jesus. They came and ministered to Jesus when he was tired. And we have so much that God has given us that because we don't believe it and we don't call upon the name of Jesus, God is not going to send us a demon, people, unless you go back over to where he sent that lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets. But God did that because the king was being deceived, and he sent the, and he wanted to get the king to where he was supposed to be. But just a minute, I won't lose my thought. But the thing is that because we don't really believe God's word, we never sin it. We know it. And the thing that I have found that I prove God. God says, try me, prove me. And I say, God, this is what your word says. Now, if this is your word and you say it, he says in his word he's no respecter of persons. And when we ask him, he will do it, and he does it because of our faith. And you can't cast a demon out of someone without believing. You can't receive anything from God unless you believe. And so this is why it's so important to get rid of all the fears. Well, what if I did that and it didn't work? So what?
Yes.
That's what I always say when people say, well, I didn't have that spirit. I didn't think I had that. And I say, you know, if I'm calling a demon and you don't know whether it's there or not, what you need to say is, hey, if you're in me, you got to go. And let it go. If it's not there, it won't come out. But if it is there, you can get freedom from it. So my point is, God doesn't mind. You know, he tells us in 1 John 4 to try the spirits to see if they be of God or not. Well, honey, I tried God really hard one night that I came to the hospital, and he told me my husband was going to die back in March. I said, that's the devil. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And God just continued to talk to him. And I said, I'm not going to listen to you. I know you're not God. That's not true. You promised us with long life, will you satisfy us and show us your salvation? And God said, hear me. He didn't get mad at me because I was trying the spirit. God won't leave when you try a spirit. The demons will if you'll put the pressure on them and use the word against them. But God doesn't get mad at us, and so he wants us to believe his word, he wants us to stand on the word, and he wants us to act on it. See, you can know this word, you can know this Bible from cover to cover, but if you never act upon it and prove the word of God, you just know the word. You have an intellectual knowledge of the word of God and not a working knowledge of the word. And so God wants us to, he wants us to take authority over the powers of darkness and get free from every fear that so easily besets us. And we need to do that. Okay, just a minute.
I just wanted to share, when you mentioned about your husband,
mm-hmm.
that angel would come into his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 2 weeks ago, I had to go to Tulsa. And I was totally exhausted going through
I had to make this appointment, and as I got in my car, I had not been asleep but maybe three hours a night for a week. And as I got in the car, I suddenly realized I'm making all these mistakes and cars are coming, and I remember you said, praise the Lord, three years ago, amen, I remember what your husband prayed, and I said, if it worked for him,
I'm going to ask you, Lord, to put an angel in my mind.
Praise the Lord.
Away to get to Tulsa and back home. You know, I did that. I prayed by faith. I never was tired. I drove all the way up there and all the way back.
Amen. Amen. That's great. I praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Yes, amen. Amen. That's tremendous. You know, it's proving the word. It's standing on the word and seeing it work. And it does work. And if you will, go over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. You know, if what she's talking about, doing all this time of my husband's sickness, and I took care of him several months by myself, and I would get so tired sometimes that I just couldn't hardly go, and I'd say, Lord, I need you to give me put in me a spirit of might. Over in Isaiah, it talks about the seven spirits of God. And I said, Lord, I need might. I need power. I need strength. And might was the strength, you know. And I fully, fully believe and know that he did. That's why I was able to do the work that I did. And then when help came, I was able to turn it loose and just sit down and let someone else do it as much as they could, you know. And I praise the Lord, but I go back to, you have not because you ask not. And when I had someone tell me, I tried binding one time. This lady told me, she said, I tried binding and said it didn't work. I said, you just told me why it didn't work. You tried it. You don't try God's word. You say, Lord, this is what the word says, and I have authority to bind, and I bind in the name of Jesus. You know, people, one of the things that I'm going to, I don't know, I may do it tomorrow as the Lord leads, but we need to practice what we preach and what the word preaches to us. I'm binding and loosing. You know, the binding will tear down the powers in the heavenlies. If all of us in here from all different parts of the country were binding the strong men in the heavenlies and binding the powers of darkness, principalities and powers, bind the false trinity, the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon in the heavenlies, and cutting off their power to the spirits in the world. If all of us zeroed in on the White House, for instance, and bound the strong men over the White House, and bound the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness over that White House, and do it not just once. Listen, you bind and you bind and you can, every time you think about it, you bind. You say, well, that's by not walking in faith. Well, let me tell you something. I don't find anywhere in Scripture where it says just bind once. It says bind. They that the faith of we have, when we bind, we will see God's word work. And it does work. The binding works. In Romans in chapter 8 and verse 15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So we see bondage comes with fear. It puts you in bondage, makes you fearful at night, makes you afraid to go open your door, makes you afraid to go out at night. We need to stop letting the devil, ladies that have no husbands, that we be afraid to get out at night. We need to stop being afraid and trusting God. You know what I told the Lord when I overcame that fear that was trying to hit me? I said, you know what, Lord? Whatever befalls me, if someone comes up and knocks me in the head, I'll just be home with you. But if not, I'm just going to keep going. I'm not going to let the devil win. I am not going to let him win. He wants to defeat us. He wants to stop us, and we're not going to let him. He's not going to put us in bondage. You know, bondage is like chains, having chains on you. And you're bound, and you can't go, you can't get loose. And you're afraid of this, and you're afraid to do that. And God doesn't want us to walk in fear. He said, but ye have received, he said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have been adopted into God's family, and he's our Father, and he wants the best for us. And as we stand upon his word and speak his word to him, he says, come and let us reason together. He said, and when I looked at that and I thought, Lord, he said, reason with him. And then he says, put me in remembrance of my word. And I said, Lord, I know you don't need to know your word, but you need to know that I know your word. And I'm going to put you in remembrance, and this is what your word says. And I'm believing for you to do what I ask because it's your word. And so we reasoned with him and said, Lord, why didn't it work that time? If it didn't work that time, I said, Lord, what happened? And then he'll tell me why it didn't work exactly the way that I had prayed for it to work. And he will explain it to you if you'll listen to him. Having ears, you know, we need to pray, God, give us spiritual ears. I pray this all the time, and I think a lot of times when I'm praying it for my church, they think it's just words. I have this 89-year-old man, Lord bless him. It's so hard to get him to understand things sometimes. He's a precious man. he would do anything on Sunday for the church, or if I made some remark about my car being so hot when I got it in the summer, he said, you know, I think I'll put you a carport out there. I said, I don't think you will. I don't want you spending your money to build me a carport. But, I mean, but he is so, it's so hard to get through his mind, intellectual, whatever. And I prayed with him not too long ago that God would give him seeing eyes and hearing ears. I've been praying. I put my hands on his eyes and his ears, and he believes when you minister to him. He gets deliverance. He gets healed. I prayed over his heart, and God healed his heart. And it's just amazing because he believes it and receives it. But sometimes we're like he is. We just hear the words, and they don't go any further. And a lot of times, an unteachable spirit will pop up and say, well, I know that. When people tell me they know that, I thought, you didn't hear what I said. When you say that, I know you're not listening. We're so busy sometimes. We feel like maybe people are trying to put us down instead of just trying to share knowledge that God gives us. If God gives us you revelation or me revelation and we don't share it, then the enemy will come and steal it. And so we share it, and it's to edify and to help others. And when we put it all together, then we're receiving a lot of knowledge from the Lord. A little bit here, what did you say? A little here and a little there?
Well, while you just take a sip, this Sunday they were talking about fear. And I thought it was very interesting because somebody had brought out the word fear and outlined the word fear as F being false, E being evidence,
A being false evidence appears. Well, you know, it's very good. But I go back to this in the area of what Job happened to Job, and I think this is what I'm really trying to stress today. If we will nip it in the bud, so to speak, when it tries to pop up, and we put the word on it and call it off of you. If you're afraid of the dark, I call the spirit of fear of the dark off. I do a lot of self-deliverance. If you're always ministering to someone else, you need deliverance as much as they do. And Dr. Noel got hold of me and prayed over me. He came to visit Jim, and just in his kind way, he sat down and started praying. And I said, I was planning on you doing deliverance on me. I didn't know you was going to do it quite that way, but I got a lot of deliverance. And I appreciate it because as a deliverance teacher and a worker, it's hard to get deliverance because you're always busy working on someone else. But I go into my church, I think I've told this many times up here, and usually it's on a Wednesday night. I said, okay, it's my time. Gather around, folks. I need deliverance. And the whole church, they just love it. I think they're waiting until they can throw me on the floor and sit on me. They may do that just yet, but I'm telling you, they work on me. And I praise the Lord for it but you yourself can call. I know a lot of times when I'm in the bathtub, whatever pops up in my mind, I go after. And I'll take my authority and say, you can't stay. You've got to go. And so we need to do this simply because it puts us in bondage, and we've got to remember that you are and I have been adopted into God's family, and He's our Father, and He just wants to do more than we have asked Him. Heard someone one time say he had a vision or dream of something, and God showed him a big room. He dreamed he went to heaven and saw this enormous room up there, and it had all kinds of gifts wrapped, you know, all over it. The angel that was showing him around, he asked him, he said, what are all these packages? And the angel said, those are for God's children that they never asked for. He said, they're waiting. When they ask for them, said, he'll send them to them. But I thought about that, and how much more does God, what does the word say? Every promise of God is yea and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.